DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. Michael Kelly sitting in with us for the next 20, 30 minutes or so. You want to talk any politics?
Sure.
You talk
we'll
down.
Do anything you want.
What's on your political mind? Do you want to talk about what you and Gene were talking about today?
Which would have been what?
In general, sort of like the...
Well, we talked a little bit about the Trump stuff and whether or not this is ultimately helping Donald Trump. And I know that the conventional wisdom out there is that this is probably helping him even towards the general election. I just don't buy it. I saw... Mitt Romney, he's kind of in a I don't give any era.
Yeah.
And which is crazy. I spent 2 years of my life working against him. He was running for president against Barack Obama, and I worked hard on that campaign against
him.
You'd
probably vote for him today.
Exactly. And now I find myself looking at him thinking, this is a real human being with credible ideas. And I just think that cumulatively, this is all kind of piling up with the Trump stuff. It's exhausting. It's just a sample of what those 4 years felt like. So there you go.
I don't know. We have CNN on in the office, and I just can't believe how much they're covering this trial, like just wall to wall. And it makes me go, I mean, is he this important? Is it? I don't want to say it feels like the media is picking on Trump, but sometimes it does feel like the media is picking on Trump. And that's coming from me, like someone who has never voted for him, will never vote for him.
You know what?
Until I tell you about OJ.
Everyone knows that I'm not a Donald Trump fan politically, but beyond that, I am so sick of him being in my life. If this were Mitt Romney, who people laugh at me for saying this, but he was the last guy I was passionate about. He was the last guy who I thought, you're right, he's a real human being. He's a little too Charlie Church for me with the magic underwear and everything. But it's like, okay, like I like his ideas. He seems like a reasonable person. He seems like a kind person. He seems like a thoughtful, rational human being. If he had gotten all this coverage for the past 8 years, I'd be sick to death of him.
Yeah.
So it's not just Donald Trump. I'm sick of the world revolving around one human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that also, guys, I feel like right before COVID, maybe about the emergence of Barack Obama, probably when social media, but politics transitioned over to pop culture too. It became a part of every asset. It's become a part of every aspect of our lives. And you know, I look at these politicians now, they're almost like a lot of the social media influencers I watch and kind of giggle at
for sure
with the way they're talking to their phones and the spontaneous stuff that they're saying. And I mean, I think we all probably, if I brought up a couple of names in here, we all probably loathe them. Kim Kardashian, enough, go away. And maybe that's what we've done with our politicians is we've made them not only a part of our political lives, but about of our social and good.
But the thing about Kim Kardashian is the more you complain about her, the more relevant she becomes. So it's just like when the media is so hyper focused on this is the first trial. I mean, can you guys believe it? I just feel like it does give him more power. And it seems like a lot of polls kind of reflect that he's doing well.
It's how he got elected. I mean, it's because he got free coverage nonstop. Didn't have to spend a dime on advertising. Because all he has to do is say something and it goes wall to wall. And it's not one network. It's CNN, MSNBC, Fox, all from different viewpoints. But it's about one thing. He brings the ratings and that's all they're chasing. Literally all they care about. Like there's 1,000 news stories that should be covered on a day like today. But what's expensive? In-depth reporting that takes time is expensive. Mm-hmm. You know what's cheap? Opinions.
Yeah, sitting around speculating.
You put 4 people up there in a 4-shot with a panel, and they can all throw out opinions. Now, again, we do that to a degree, but we're not a TV news network, right? I mean, we're an entertainment show. We cover serious things, but we also talk about sports and travel things and fast food things and all of that. But when you're supposed to be a serious news outlet, and the only thing you cover is politics because politics is cheap ratings. That's it.
Would you guys agree that while a person can live any way that they want to live, and if a person wanted to live like it was 1957, they could, a family could pull it off until the kids rebelled like the Duggars and they got tired of the khakis and left. But society has never gone backwards.
No.
and it's not going to now. And so someone like me, who yearns for the days of like George Bush and Mitt Romney, I can wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which gets full fastest, because we're not going back to that. What are some of the possible futures that we could have in politics?
LeBron James running for president of the United States? I mean, really, if becoming president comes down to eyeballs and attention, it's a whole different element of folks who suddenly come into the game. And by the way, who doesn't fancy themselves as president of the United States, right? It's like winning the lottery. All of us could potentially be like, oh, I could, you know, I would be president. Who wouldn't want to be? You're the most powerful human on the planet. But that's kind of where we're going, is not necessarily for your qualifications in terms of your ability of becoming a subject matter expert, but your ability to draw attention. What was the answer to to Donald Trump this last time? Maybe we'll get Oprah to run.
Yeah.
I mean,
The
really?
Rock.
Oprah? This
the
is what we're going to do? The Rock?
People are literally talking about actors
and
talk show people.
What do you see the future of getting along being? That getting along, the Michael Kellys and the Gene Evans of the world, actually getting along and actually working as a team?
Well, so would you guys agree the 60s were probably the most contentious time before this one in our kind of general lifetimes?
Yeah. Sure.
So what followed the 60s and the 70s? Because the 70s were bad for different reasons, right? Because it was bad economically
and all
that. Yeah, every
decade's going to have its
But it was followed warts. By the 80s and 90s, which were pretty fine. Like, they were pretty cool. I think 80s and 90s were a great time to grow up because nobody was fighting about stuff. Now, I don't know that that'll be this way because you're just bombarded with stuff that you weren't bombarded with 40 years ago. But it seems like we go in cycles, right? I mean, we've definitely had the backs and forths. I mean, eventually people get tired of everything, which is why we change presidents every 4 to 8 years, because people get tired of it. When's the last time we had the same party hold the presidency back to back? It's Reagan to Bush the first.
It's been a long
time. Because we go back and forth. Yeah. We're sick of those guys. Let's go to these guys. And when we're sick of that guy, and we go to these guys, it'll come back. It'll normalize eventually, but what damage has to happen first before we get to that?
Would you, if you could push a button to have something different, could be better, could be worse, but it wouldn't be this, would you push that button?
Which one?
The one that makes it different.
Yeah.
I think I would too.
Totally.
Even if there's a possibility of it being worse, I'm tired of this one. And again, it's not just Trump. Trump is the sun in our political solar system right now. Anyone who denies that, just, you don't know what you're talking about. He just is.
Yeah.
But it's not just him. I'm just tired of all of it.
Well, it feels like the whole world's unraveling, and I don't care what it is that you're involved in. I'm a golf nut. They've screwed golf up. I mean, they have ruined golf. It feels like everything, you know, if you're a library person, they've ruined the library. Now we've turned this into it. Everything seems to be some big controversial, angry thing. And maybe it's the devices that we have in our hands that have made our idle minds want to, you know, and it's our worst instincts. And it's in me, too. I mean, it's in every one of us.
Nothing seems simple or pure anymore.
Yeah, just, I don't know. It's messed up.
The one thing I wish, if I could wish one thing, I wish people would detach their own identity with their politics. Like, I don't understand why it needs to be the center of your world. It's not mine. I don't have any identity with politics whatsoever. There's nothing about it. It's like, yep, that's what I'm about.
Yeah, it's weird, right? I mean, and we all have seen it. I mean, there's folks like myself who live in a political world.
Right, but that's a different thing.
But I mean, you're not even talking about that. You're talking about the guy who's driving down the road who's got, you know, 12 Biden stickers. And
yes.
It's like, wait a minute. What
like
are you,
the whole world needs to know what you think.
Or the people at the Lake of the Ozarks doing it with their boats. It's just weird. I think politics has become a part of our culture, but it really has become a part of our community. And that's how we're identifying with people that are like same as a result of politics. And that's kind of messed up because, I mean, I'm sitting in a room with a bunch of folks who don't necessarily at times share my politics. Dave, you freely have expressed you're a Republican. John Hancock's one of my best pals. My life is much richer for the people on the other side of the aisle. I wish I was the one making the decisions all the time, but diversity of opinion is helpful.
When you say that, though, Mike, when you say that I'm a Republican, it's true that I've only voted for one Democrat in the past 20 years. But I have nothing in common with the Republican Party anymore.
Yeah.
And what I wonder is, I wonder if I will have an opportunity in my non-Alzheimer's lifetime to be passionate about another candidate or another party, mm-hmm. because I can't see the GOP going from where it is now to something that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
And while I am fine with Biden, like you were talking about, some of your good political friends think that he's like the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. I think he's very pablum and very milquetoast and very like, oh, shucky darns. You know, like, I don't see him as like the great divider or anything, but I'm also not passionate about him.
Right. Yeah, and it's obvious that the man's aging before our eyes, too. I mean, the criticisms on his age are valid. At the same time, I don't know that that's the reason that someone who tried to overthrow our democracy should be the alternative.
Like, if I were to ask each of you in the room, you're meeting somebody new, what's the first thing you want them to know about you? Is it going to be how you vote?
No.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to be the first? Because that's how we're living. We're living where we got to tell everybody right up front, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative.
It wouldn't be in the top 50.
No, it would be near the bottom of a list for me. I probably wouldn't even get around to it. The first thing I'd want you to know is I like baseball, or I like to have a good time. I'm friendly. I like to tell jokes. Like, it's not going to have anything to do with any political issue or party or identity. Like, it's not going to be on the list. But what are you doing when you're driving around a car with everything on there is a political sticker of some kind? And I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You're just broadcasting the first thing that everybody knows about you is that.
This is one of the very first songs I played in my very first band, Raw Toast.
Nice.
I always love the guitar riff in this one.
And I had to keep dropping the sticks to pretend, because I'd never heard any of these songs, because I listened to KXOK. So I thought I was in a band that was going to play like Leo Sayer, Your Love Is Taking Me Higher. And then I showed up and Kevin Forster and Farkey are like, okay, we're going to start off with Purple Haze. And I'm like, excellent choice. And they started into it and I dropped my stick and I'm like, what the hell song is this? And I would just listen long enough to play along with it.
All right, Meesers, do you know any worship songs? Is there
Do you happen to know 15 Miles on the Erie Canal? It's a burner.
Learned cross buns recently.
So it goes like this. Señor Don Gato, meow, meow, meow.
Is there a backstory to the name Raw Toast?
It was just the genius name that those guys made up.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
It's very visual.
Should have been a Bread cover band.
That Bread was taken.
Yeah. Can you tell the Hancock story? That's awesome. I didn't know that.
About
how he got introduced.
So John's over in England right now. He's celebrating his 60th birthday. His wife put together this trip. They're going to the World Snooker Championships, which takes place in Sheffield, England.
Perfect.
At the same little theater all the time called the Crucible Theater. And for a like-same comparison, although they're not, in golf, this would be like Augusta National, if you will. Okay, it would be
a hallowed event.
It's a hallowed event, and it's a big deal. And so, speaking of golf, about a week ago, he and I are watching the Masters together, and Tiger Woods is standing on the thing, and he nudges me, and he goes, "That's the Ronnie O'Sullivan of golf." And so Ronnie O'Sullivan is the
household
main,
name.
Yeah. Lovable, he's ever said that sentence before.
Right, exactly. So yeah, that's how most of the world views it, John. And he's going to see this guy in particular who's most likely going to make it there. But he bought for a time block, like you would do for a U.S. Open tournament or whatever, tennis tournament. So he's going to the semifinals, and we'll see all the semifinal games in the hopes that Ronnie O'Sullivan would make it that far. So he just arrived in London. This is John's first time leaving the country other than Mexico. I know, it sounds like I'm talking about my child, right? Yeah. And so he's really excited, and I'm excited for him. But he had no idea what snooker was until about 4 or 5 years ago, right before the pandemic. Before a show here on KMOX, we were hanging over at my buddy's house, And my buddy had lived a year in England and was a snooker fan. And this particular tournament was on. He was watching it. John saw 20 minutes of it. A week later, John shows up. He goes, I got a present for you. I said, what's that? He bought me a snooker sticks and snooker balls. And he's like, we're going to learn how to play snooker. And of course, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this will be fun for a week or two. You know, like, you know, when you join the ultimate frisbee or something.
Yeah.
And John really took it to heart. And he's obsessed with it now. And I've not kept up with it. But there you go.
You've been a good friend, though.
Yeah, you know, and it's not bad. I don't mind losing at it because I was never good at it.
Right.
And I do
not going to keep you from getting women or anything. Like, you're not as good at snooker as Hancock.
But it's probably the only social time outside of work-induced social time that John and I have together. Mm. So it's kind of fun to be in that environment, and we get to...
And how good is he?
I don't know because we don't ever play anybody other than ourselves.
he could be marginal at best.
Yeah, he probably is not good because when I watch on TV, they score more points in one turn than we score in an entire game.
Oh, I love that. That's so cute.
But it is fun. So, you know, he's over there living it up. And good for him. And that
good
means
for
that for 2 weeks I don't have to play.
Hope he has some fish and chips.
Happy 60th.
Yeah.
Like if Heart came out today, they would be just as big or bigger.
Yes.
I mean, they seem timeless to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they'd be maybe bigger. Because they had to, at the time, they had to overcome the, it's just girls, right? Like
yeah.
that, the rock world was not real big on that. And it'd
Boy,
be
they
a
kicked
lot
that door down, though.
Totally did.
I mean, not even a little bit.
No, big time.
Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Going to be an interesting weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah. But there's also going to be a lot of dry time. Obviously, it's been a soggy afternoon. Our temperature is about 64, 65 right now. We're not going to change much at all overnight tonight. There's one last batch of rain and some small thunderstorms. So a little bit of thunder and lightning coming right up I-44. Let's think from now until about 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock, that's the round of the rain. It'll be in and out fairly quickly. The rest of the night is relatively quiet, though. It is quite windy. Tomorrow, I still think, is a lot of dry time. It's partly sunny. It's warm. It's humid. It's windy. Nothing more than a couple of spot thunderstorms, 82. So keep an eye on the sky, but we're going to have a lot of dry time. Spotty showers here and there late Saturday night, so the evening should be okay. Sunday is still the prime day. A lot of dry time, a mix of clouds and sunshine. It's windy, it's warm, it's humid, 80 degrees, and the best shot of severe weather for us is going to be mid to late afternoon Sunday into Sunday night and still rather unsettled on Monday. But for tonight and Saturday night, the threat of severe weather is out to our west, central Missouri, into eastern Kansas, up into Iowa, down through Texas. And there's going to be a couple of major tornado outbreaks this weekend in that zone. Not for us for the bulk of the weekend, but we do have to pay attention to mid to late Saturday, Sunday afternoon.
So funny. So, Dave, as I told you, my daughter is going to the Brozarks party down in the Lake of the Ozarks. And I told her, I'm like, hey, got to put my dad hat on. You know, Dave says it's going to be really bad XYZ. And she's like, okay. And it's so funny growing up because 19-year-old Dave Glover, if you said, like, hey, it could be pretty stormy down there, he'd be like, okay.
No, my weekend is ruined.
Thanks, Father Time. What will I do about the clouds? But at 59, you're like, oh, gosh darn, look at that. That's a supercell right there.
Yeah. I never had that problem with my son because my son was like, man, if Dad is telling me this, I better pay attention.
That's a good point. You kind of have a filter for the dad that knows the weather better.
Yeah.
Right.
Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. We talked about this already in the show. I think this was on the air. It could have been off the air. I apologize if it was. But a strip club is going to become a Chick-fil-A in Portland, Oregon. The building that currently houses the Venue Gentlemen's Club has been bought out and will be turned into a Chick-fil-A location. But don't expect to see stripper poles next to deep fryers. Chick-fil-A plans to completely demolish the building and to construct a new restaurant from the ground up.
I'm laughing because I have been to both, and there's very little carryover. I don't know why Chick-fil-A would be like, that's the building. That's what we're looking for.
Can I tell you what's a bummer, too?
The perfect spot. Mm.
What we've lost nowadays, we were talking about like design stuff and design sensibilities. We've lost the weird fast food places that are built over something else, right? Like a Taco Bell that used to be a gas station or whatever. Like now they always just completely gut the interior, so they just make it a uniform. All McDonald's look the same. Yeah. All Taco Bells, all Chick-fil-A's look the same.
Well, 80% of Mexican restaurants are old Pizza Huts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like that sometimes.
And I want to go to the Chick-fil-A where you look around and you're like, I feel like this used to be a strip club.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no, you would know instantly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah.
Seems to not align with Chick-fil-A's
values.
Yeah.
That's why they're demolishing it, Wheels. Yeah.
Well, it's not Poltergeist. I mean, they're not building it on top of a...
I'm just telling you.
I don't know.
Get it? Polter.
Get it?
Dave, had to take it there.
All right, here's another kind of dirty story. I apologize. Yes. A murder suspect used his life insurance money to buy a sex doll. A Kansas man accused of murdering his wife used some of the life insurance money to buy a $2,000 sex doll. He had cashed in two life insurance policies for $120,000, then turned around and bought the doll. He also spent thousands of dollars on video games and music equipment.
You know, he looked at his wife and he's like, for $2,000, I can have $118,000 left over. Could replace her for $2,000.
Replace her. That's a grim thought.
Incredibly
grim.
He killed her and immediately bought a sex doll.
The thing is, it's exactly the thought, but like we all had that same, like, ooh, that's grim.
He's like, I know exactly the Chick-fil-A I'm taking you on our first date.
A 104-year-old time capsule was found during a high school demolition. Speaking of demolishing things, this happened in Minnesota. The capsule was discovered during the demolition of an old high school building dating back to September 30th, 1920. Contents includes a copy of the school student newspaper, a list of town mayors. I don't know why I think that's adorable. Financial reports and items from the Minnesota Freemasons. Some of the items will go on display at the new high school building.
What if they found like a tiny skeleton or something like that? We did one of those when I was in grade school. I have no idea where it is or if it's been opened, but I remember like we all put something in there.
I feel like everybody did, which must mean that there are time capsules
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Let's go on a hunt.
Yeah, I think we'd find one.
I never did one in any official capacity, but I wanted to so bad. And I would always get out like a shoebox and be like, all right, I'm going to make my own time capsule. But then I couldn't have like dug the hole deep enough.
Why not?
Because I was a child.
A shoebox would last a heck of a long time.
Right, there you go. All right, this is a more serious topic. Half of Americans, including 42% of Democrats, say they would support mass deportations of undocumented immigrants. This is according to a new Axios Vibe survey. 40% of Democrats and 46% of Republicans now say they would end birthright citizenship, something that's guaranteed under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. The change has been spurred on by a record surge of illegal border crossings. Sentiments are changing.
What that makes me think of is that you make your own problems. That there were a lot of people who 5 years ago definitely 10 years ago, would have said, yeah, and I don't think anyone should be coming here illegally, but we need people to, you know, do this job or that job, and we should, there should be a pathway to do it, or there should be a special visa program, what have you. But then they show up in your backyard. And whether it is illegal immigration or it's the abortion issue or whatever it is, when you let it get to the point that it affects you, you know what I'm saying? You being the royal you, I keep saying that today, but we let it get bad enough that your average person is 42%. It's like, yeah, I'm done with this. You feel me? If you would have fixed it 5 years ago, if you would have fixed it 10 years ago, and if you'd have fixed it even 50%, you wouldn't have all these people saying mass deportation. But you let it get bad enough that now people are like, I've had it.
And what's really interesting is there are so many people in industry and in the business world saying we need immigration. We need people to work because we aren't filling the gaps that are being I'm just looking at a story from a month ago where this trade association for construction companies are like, we can't hire enough people. We don't have enough people. We need people that will come out and work. So we need immigration, but we don't, I mean, I don't think any of us want it to be unfettered, just whatever, right? Like people just come and do what they want to do. It should be much more organized and smart, but we have to, if we don't have enough people, because, and I know this is a problem in China right now too, because the population is not growing to keep up with demand for things, and they're actually, they have a shortage of workers as well. If that's the case, then how can we not, for our own interest, realize we need to control this?
Yes.
Make it right and smart so we can vet it and do it all. But we're just sitting back and watching it happen.
It seems we're doing everything wrong.
Right.
It really does. It seems
from
like
both perspectives.
Yes. We're just continually shooting ourselves in both feet.
Younger Americans are drinking less. They may not be as open to alcohol as prior generations. Fresh civic science data shows that 72% of Americans aged 21 to 34 say they're drinking less now than they did a year ago. Their motivations range from wanting to improve physical health to lack of enjoyment to increasing prices.
Hell of a combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of different reasons why that's happening. Southwest Airlines officials are considering doing away with open seating. They've long been known for their inexpensive fares, no-frills service, and open seating, but they're considering making the switch to assigned seats.
Do you guys have a preference?
I like to pick out my seat before I get on my plane.
I do, too.
Well, Southwest is in a little bit of trouble, too, financially, so they got to do something.
The last time I flew Southwest, I just got pisser and pisser because I paid extra to be A1 through 15. And then I guess at this point, if you have a bunion, you can be on the pre-list and get on before everyone else because about 80 people got on. I'm just like, yeah, be kidding me. It's like, we're going to let the military get on. I'm like, way to go. Good for you. Now people in wheelchairs. I'm like, amen. Yes, yes, yes. And like, this guy's sad because his wife left him. I'm like, wait a second.
Oh, the one that bothers you when they're like, people with small children.
Yes, that does bother me because I never took advantage of that. Maybe I'm the schmuck.
And my final story here, Dave brought this up earlier in the show, but tipflation is costing Americans every year. A survey of 2,000 Americans examined just how much tipflation may be impacting our wallets, and Americans spend nearly $500 a year tipping more than they'd like to, according to new research. This is mostly guilt-induced gratuity.
Yeah, sure.
With over a quarter feeling they are always or often forced to tip more than they would like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty good tipper, and even when no one's watching, you know, like you fill it out and you could put in anything. I just feel like that's the right thing to do. But when someone spins the iPad around at you and you know they're going to see what you hit in 2 seconds, I don't have the guts to be like, no, thank you.
I like to look them in the eye when I do it. Oh, no, boy. I'm kidding. If anything is a joke, I don't do that.
Thank you, Dave. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
feel like if Heart came out today, they would be just as big or bigger.
Yes.
I mean, they seem timeless to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they'd be maybe bigger. Because they had to, at the time, they had to overcome the, it's just girls, right? Like,
yeah.
That, the rock world was not real big on that. And it would
be
a lot more
accepted down, though.
Totally did.
I mean, not even a little bit.
No, big time.
Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Going to be an interesting weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah. But there's also going to be a lot of dry time. Obviously, it's been a soggy afternoon. Our temperature is about 64, 65 right now. We're not going to change much at all overnight tonight. There's one last batch of rain and some small thunderstorms. So a little bit of thunder and lightning coming right up I-44. Let's think from now until about 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock. That's the round of the rain. It'll be in and out fairly quickly. The rest of the night is relatively quiet, though. It is quite windy. Tomorrow, I still think, is a lot of dry time. It's partly sunny. It's warm. It's humid. It's windy. Nothing more than a couple of spot thunderstorms, 82. So keep an eye on the sky, but we're going to have a lot of dry time. Spotty showers here and there late Saturday night, so the evening should be okay. Sunday is still the prime day. A lot of dry time, a mix of clouds and sunshine. It's windy, it's warm, it's humid, 80 degrees, and the best shot of severe weather for us is going to be mid to late afternoon Sunday into Sunday night, and still rather unsettled on Monday. But for tonight and Saturday night, the threat of severe weather is out to our west, central Missouri, into eastern Kansas, up into Iowa, down through Texas. And there's going to be a couple of major tornado outbreaks this weekend in that zone. Not for us for the bulk of the weekend, but we do have to pay attention to mid to late Saturday, Sunday afternoon.
So funny. So, Dave, as I told you, my daughter is going to the Brozarks party down in the Lake of the Ozarks. And I told her, I'm like, hey, got to put my dad hat on. You know, Dave says it's going to be really bad, XYZ. And she's like, okay. And it just, it's so funny growing up because 19-year-old Dave Glover, if you said, like, hey, it could be pretty stormy down there, he'd be like, okay.
No, my weekend is ruined.
Thanks, Father Time. What will I do about the clouds?
Yep.
But at 59, you're like, oh, gosh darn, look at that. That's a supercell right there.
Yeah. I never had that problem with my son because my son was like, man, if Dad is telling me this, I better pay attention.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. You kind of have a filter for the dad that knows the weather better.
Yeah.
Right.
Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. We talked about this already in the show. I think this was on the air. It could have been off the air. I apologize if it was. But a strip club is going to become a Chick-fil-A in Portland, Oregon. The building that currently houses the Venue Gentlemen's Club has been bought out and will be turned into a Chick-fil-A location. But don't expect to see stripper poles next to deep fryers. Chick-fil-A plans to completely demolish the building and to construct a new restaurant from the ground up.
I'm laughing because I have been to both, and there's very little carryover. I don't know why Chick-fil-A would be like, that's the building. That's what we're looking for.
Can I tell you what's a bummer, too?
The perfect spot. Mm.
What we've lost nowadays, we were talking about like design stuff and design sensibilities. We've lost the weird fast food places that are built over something else, right? Like a Taco Bell that used to be a gas station or whatever. Like now they always just completely gut the interior, so they just make it a uniform. All McDonald's look the same. Yeah. All Taco Bells, all Chick-fil-A's look the same.
Well, 80% of Mexican restaurants are old Pizza Huts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like that sometimes.
And I want to go to the Chick-fil-A where you look around and you're like, I feel like this used to be a strip club.
You would know instantly.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah.
Seems not aligned with Chick-fil-A's
values.
Yeah.
That's why they're demolishing it, Wheels. Yeah.
Well, it's not Poltergeist. I mean, they're not building it on top of a
I'm just telling you.
I don't know.
I'm just telling you.
Get it, Poltergeist.
Get it.
Dave had to take it there.
All right, here's another kind of dirty story. I apologize. A murder suspect used his life insurance money to buy a sex doll. A Kansas man accused of murdering his wife used some of the life insurance money to buy a $2,000 sex doll. He had cashed in two life insurance policies for $120,000, then turned around and bought the doll. He also spent thousands of dollars on video games and music equipment.
You know, he looked at his wife and he's like, for $2,000, I can have $118,000 left over. Could replace her for $2,000.
replace her. That's a grim thought.
Incredibly grim. Killed her and immediately bought a sex doll.
The thing is, that's exactly the thought, but like we all had that same, like, ooh, that's grim.
He's like, I know exactly the Chick-fil-A I'm taking you on our first date.
A 104-year-old time capsule was found during a high school demolition. Speaking of demolishing things, this happened in Minnesota. The capsule was discovered during the demolition of an old high school building dating back to September 30th, 1920. Contents includes a copy of the school student newspaper, a list of town mayors. I don't know why I think that's adorable. Financial reports and items from the Minnesota Freemasons. Some of the items will go on display at the new high school building.
What if they found like a tiny skeleton or something like that? We did one of those when I was in grade school. I have no idea where it is or if it's been opened, but I remember like we all put something in there.
I feel like everybody did, which must mean that there are time capsules
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I
Let's
never
go on a hunt.
Yeah, I think we'd find one.
I never did one in any official capacity, but I wanted to so bad. And I would always get out like a shoebox and be like, all right, I'm going to make my own time capsule. But then I couldn't have like dug the hole deep enough.
Why not?
Because I was a child.
A shoebox would last a heck of a long time.
Right, there you go. All right, this is a more serious topic. Half of Americans, including 42% of Democrats, say they would support mass deportations of undocumented immigrants. This is according to a new Axios Vibe survey. 40% of Democrats and 46% of Republicans now say they would end birthright citizenship, something that's guaranteed under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. The change has been spurred on by a record surge of illegal border crossings. Sentiments are changing.
What that makes me think of is that you make your own problems. That there were a lot of people who 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, would have said, yeah, and I don't think anyone should be coming here illegally, but we need people to, you know, do this job or that job. And there should be a pathway to do it, or there should be a special visa program, what have you. But then they show up in your backyard. And whether it is illegal immigration or it's the abortion issue or whatever it is, when you let it get to the point that it affects you, you know what I'm saying? You being the royal you, I keep saying that today, but we let it get bad enough that your average person is 42%. It's like, yeah, I'm done with this. You feel me? If you would have fixed it 5 years ago, if you would have fixed it 10 years ago, and if you'd have fixed it even 50%, you wouldn't have all these people saying mass deportation. But you let it get bad enough that now people are like, I've had it.
And what's really interesting is there are so many people in industry and in the business world saying we need immigration. We need people to work because we aren't filling the gaps that are being. I'm just looking at a story from a month ago where this trade association for construction companies are like, we can't hire enough people. We don't have enough people. We need people that will come out and work. So we need immigration, but we don't. I mean, I don't think any of us want it to be unfettered, just whatever, right? Like people just come and do what they want to do. It should be much more organized and smart. But we have to if we don't have enough people. Because, and I know this is a problem in China right now, too, because the population is not growing to keep up with demand for things. And they're actually, they have a shortage of workers as well. If that's the case, then how can we not, for our own interest, realize we need to control this?
Yes.
Make it right and smart so we can vet it and do it all. But we're just sitting back and watching it happen.
It seems we're doing everything wrong.
Right.
It really does. It seems
from both perspectives.
Yes. We're just continually shooting ourselves in both feet.
Younger Americans are drinking less. They may not be as open to alcohol as prior generations. Fresh civic science data shows that 72% of Americans aged 21 to 34 say they're drinking less now than they did a year ago. Their motivations range from wanting to improve physical health to lack of enjoyment to increasing prices.
Hell of a combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of different reasons why that's happening. Southwest Airlines officials are considering doing away with open seating. They've long been known for their inexpensive fares, no-frills service, and open seating, but they're considering making the switch to assigned seats.
Do you guys have a preference?
I like to pick out my seat before I get on.
I do too.
Well, Southwest is in a little bit of trouble too financially, so they got to do something.
The last time I flew Southwest, I just got pisser and pisser because I paid extra to be A1 through 15. And then I guess at this point, if you have a bunion, you can be on the pre-list and get on before everyone else because about 80 people got on. I'm just like, yeah, be kidding me. It's like, we're going to let the military get on. I'm like, way to go. Good for you. Now people in wheelchairs. I'm like, amen. Yes, yes, yes. And like, this guy's sad because his wife left him. I'm like, wait a second.
Oh, then they get the one with like the one is the one that bothers you when they're like, people with small children.
Yes, that does bother me because I never took advantage of that. Mm. Maybe I'm the schmuck.
And my final story here, Dave brought this up earlier in the show, but tipflation is costing Americans every year. A survey of 2,000 Americans examined just how much tipflation may be impacting our wallets, and Americans spend nearly $500 a year tipping more than they'd like to, according to new research. This is mostly guilt-induced gratuity.
Yeah, sure.
With over a quarter feeling they are always or often forced to tip more than they would like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty good tipper, and even when no one's watching, you know, like you fill it out and you could put in anything. I just feel like that's the right thing to do. But when someone spins the iPad around at you and you know they're going to see what you hit in 2 seconds, I don't have the guts to be like, no, thank you.
I like to look them in the eye when I do it. Oh, no, boy. I'm kidding. If you're kidding, it's a joke. I don't do that.
Thank you, Dave. Have a great weekend.
You too.
DGS, George Mayhew from St. Louis Magazine coming up on the other side to talk some restaurant and food stuff. So, Wheels, this is audio of someone non-St. Louis related talking about the Cardinals.
Yeah, so this is from the ESPN Baseball Tonight podcast. So Buster Olney hosts it. Buster's one of the best baseball guys in the country. The voice you're going to hear is a guy named Paul Hembakides, who is a producer and a researcher at ESPN. So they're talking about the Cardinals, and the question is, it's early, but are you going to be patient with the Cardinals offense, or are you panicked? And in explaining why he was a little bit on the panic side, the analyst, Paul Hembakides, put out some pretty interesting facts about the offense so far.
I've got some really loud numbers when it comes to why they're one of the worst lineups in baseball right now. They can't hit the fastball. This is a team that cannot handle velocity. It's a 347 wow. slug against fastball and a 105 isolated power. Both of those rank 29th. This is a crazy statistic, by the way, and one that's very predictive when it comes to modern day offenses. They've seen 542 pitches through 95 plus. They've swung at 243 of them. They've put 79 of them in play, and they've got two extra base hits. The St. Wow. Louis Cardinals, as a team, in the first 3 weeks of the season, have two extra base hits on pitches through 95 plus.
That's, again, that's out of over 500 pitches. That's out of 200-something swings. And, you know, that is modern baseball. This is why this is a concerning thing. Now, the only question we don't have the answer to is this a long-term trend or is it April? Right? Is it a characteristic of April? Because there are things you can do to fix that, right? You can hit off of the machine on high velocity and just get your body used to getting out front and getting started a little bit earlier.
Why wouldn't we have been doing that already?
Well, it could just be related to the fact that a couple of your best players are slumping.
Yeah.
So if your couple of your best players are better at this, well, now your team numbers are going to look better because guys like Goldie and Arenado get a lot of at-bats. So if they're better at it, it's probably going to raise the level. But in general, this is a problem now more than ever because everybody throws hard now. Everybody has hard throwers. So
you're not seeing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs.
No, I mean, you're going to, but rarely, right? You're going to see 95-plus a lot, like every day at some point, if not multiple guys in every single day.
Yeah.
So if you want to know part of it, and, you know, people hate to hear this, but one thing they're also not doing is they're not pulling the ball in the air. When you don't pull it in the air, you don't hit home runs.
Yeah.
And you're not going to score a lot of runs until you start doing that.
Two to DGS. George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine coming up on the other side to talk some restaurant and food stuff. So, Wheels, this is audio of someone non-St. Louis related talking about the Cardinals.
Yeah, so this is from the ESPN Baseball Tonight podcast. So Buster Olney hosts it. Buster's one of the best baseball guys in the country. The voice you're going to hear is a guy named Paul Hembakides, who is a producer and a researcher at ESPN. So they're talking about the Cardinals, and the question is, it's early, but are you going to be patient with the Cardinals offense, or are you panicked? And in explaining why he was a little bit on the panic side, the analyst, Paul Hembakides, put out some pretty interesting facts about the offense so far.
I've got some really loud numbers when it comes to why they're one of the worst lineups in baseball right now. They can't hit the fastball. This is a team that cannot handle velocity. It's a 347 wow. slug against fastball and a 105 isolated power. Both of those rank 29th. This is a crazy statistic, by the way, and one that's very predictive when it comes to modern-day offenses. They've seen 542 pitches through 95-plus. They've swung at 243 of them. They've put 79 of them in play. And they've got two extra base hits. The St. Wow. Louis Cardinals, as a team, in the first 3 weeks of the season, have two extra base hits on pitches thrown 95-plus.
That's, again, that's out of over 500 pitches. That's out of 200-something swings. And, you know, that is modern baseball. This is why this is a concerning thing. Now, the only question we don't have the answer to is this a long-term trend or is it April? Right? Is it a characteristic of April? Because there are things you can do to fix that. Mm-hmm. Right? You can hit off of the machine on high velocity and just get your body used to getting out front and getting started a little bit earlier.
Why wouldn't we have been doing that already?
Well, it could just be related to the fact that a couple of your best players are slumping.
Yeah.
So if a couple of your best players are better at this, well, now your team numbers are going to look better because guys like Goldie and Arenado get a lot of at-bats. So if they're better at it, it's probably going to raise the level. But in general, this is a problem now more than ever because everybody throws hard now. Everybody has hard throwers. So
you're not seeing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs.
No, I mean, you're going to, but rarely, right? You're going to see 95-plus a lot, like every day at some point, if not multiple guys in every single day.
Yeah.
So if you want to know part of it, and, you know, people hate to hear this, but one thing they're also not doing is they're not pulling the ball in the air. When you don't pull it in the air, you don't hit home runs.
Yeah.
And you're not going to score a lot of runs until you start doing that.